never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello, Fáilte Rud, the Scan On Podcast, Ivra Kuigajig. Welcome to Scan On Podcast number 15.
The heck was that? We're doing languages now?
That was Irish. You know that language that the site is named in?
You've
lost.
Right. Okay,
anyway.
We'll continue on in our native tongue.
you will.
So, as per usual, I'm your host, Niall Murphy, and I'm joined by Philip Bagnall and Jason Coyle.
Hi there.
We're back in the lighthouse, where we couldn't get in last week, so because they had an event on. So
bloody teenagers.
Yes.
That's to say.
Yeah, do you remember being a teenager?
Those were bad days. We won't get into that.
Let's not.
Well, some great films came out during our teenage years, like movies on Sunday.
Yes, a crucial 15 to 25 time in my life.
Yeah.
Which all cemented those years all ago. Those cinema loving days. We was young once.
The halcyon days of our youth.
I was going to go over and have a little cry.
Can I come with?
So, anyone watch anything good this week?
Or this last 2 weeks, even?
Yeah, well, in the last 10 days.
I rewatched a couple of things lately. I ended up rewatching Philomena because my mother wanted to see it. Really wish I hadn't. I mean, it's a story worth telling, but it's fit into such a tidy little structure, and I think it's a bit too keen to laugh at its protagonist. But yeah, it's the kind of film you could take your mother along to, and she'll love you for it.
It's essentially a made-for-TV film.
Oh, very much
writ
so.
Large, you know.
Writ large, with Coogan and Dench on good form.
They save the film, really.
They really do. They do, because the script, I think, is just
potentially
extremely.
Yeah.
Platitudes and forced humor and
And actually, it's a great story. It's a missed opportunity in some ways.
Indeed.
It's all the more pertinent in the last few
absolutely.
Weeks.
Yes, indeed. But to counteract that, I watched something infinitely better. I rewatched Distant Voices Still Lies, the Terence Davies film.
Oh,
that's
lovely. Terence Davies is just,
And a terrifying performance from Pete Postlethwaite on it.
I miss Pete Postlethwaite. We all do.
We do.
His performance in The Lost World and was amazing. And in The Town.
It was good
in
The Town.
Great in The Town, actually.
Yeah. It was. Well, I think a lot of people were. He was good in it. John Hamm was terrific in it. But
yes.
I just have other problems with
it. Oh, major problems with it. Yeah. As I have with all FX films. Anyway, we're not going to get bogged down in that.
No. I also watched some new releases, but we'll talk about those later.
Cool. Mr. Coyle?
Well, the most recent watch after my 90s talk on Sunday, I watched Seven, the David Fincher film, for a rewatch, which I hadn't seen in quite a few years. And, as it comes no surprise, it is excellent.
It's a masterpiece.
It's probably a perfect script for a thriller. Like, it fits perfectly. It still allows for chaos within the frame.
When you think of how many thrillers are released week on week, month on month, how many of them actually deliver thrills?
None.
Seven is Seven walks that fine line between thriller and horror because it ratchets up the tension so much.
Yeah.
It's wound up tight and then it just releases.
It's beautiful. It's beautifully shot.
It's grim looking at it.
Yeah, everything is just, there's no light bulbs anywhere, really, and perpetually raining.
It's proud of its darkness.
It's great, and it delivers. Crucially, at the end, everything, and you won't spoil it if you haven't seen it, but really, you should.
It is
magnificent, and it finishes in a brilliant, brilliant way.
Mm. Well, the ending was rewritten, and Brad Pitt said he wouldn't shoot it.
He wanted the original ending.
They put back the ending.
Oh, I bet you they
And he was right. He was absolutely right.
Yeah. It was much bigger, the original ending.
I've seen mock-ups of what the original ending was. It was much more conventional and a race against time kind of thing. And it would spoil the whole endeavor.
It's fantastic.
They kept the original ending and they were right.
Do see if you have not. And if you have not, why haven't you?
Yeah. An amazing film.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So over the weekend, I rewatched Tim Burton's Batman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I saw that in the cinema.
It is still good. It is still very, very enjoyable. Jack Nicholson is completely OTT.
Isn't he just?
Basically Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
The thing about that film is, most people will remember Jack Nicholson and just how loony he was. yeah, fine, they just let him be Jack. But the thing that holds it together is Michael Keaton. He is an excellent choice. Absolutely excellent.
Unorthodox choice.
Very much so.
Like, he's terrific.
Kim Basinger is good.
She's okay, yeah. Even though most of the time she's not given a lot to do besides scream. She screams a lot.
She does scream a lot. But she starts out well. She's got a nice sort of dynamic going on, you know, as the photojournalist with the journalist. And there's a nice...
It's better than Mary Jane and Peter any day.
Yes. That's definitely true.
I would say I preferred Batman Returns of the two. I think it's a more interesting
film. I did too. It's a more interesting, experimental
The characters
film.
Are more interesting. There's a bit more darkness to it.
No, that is true. Yeah.
And it's also a bit weirder.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it is. I think Danny DeVito brings it, really, a lot of it.
Yeah.
And his backstory, how do you put that together? And
they just went with it.
Oh, he really did.
And you either go with it or you don't.
Yeah, it's a real sense of horror to it. A little element of horror to it, isn't it?
Just a touch.
Yeah, I really like that. They're both good films, though. Important used to make
good
films.
It's absolutely amazing how Joel Schumacher monumentally dropped the ball after the battle.
Although I did enjoy Forever. I did enjoy Batman Forever, actually.
Batman Forever is passably
it's
really
decent.
Just don't mention the other
one. Just about good enough, sadly, to keep him on for Batman and Robin and then.
Robin Williams was to play the Riddler in the original Batman.
Well, and Jim Carrey was OTT enough. I wouldn't have liked to see
that. Not in Forever, but in Batman. And they cut the part, and Robin Williams fell out black with Warner Brothers and wouldn't do anything until they apologized to him.
That's an interesting bit of trivia.
There you go.
He's done okay since, though.
He
went on to do Jack.
He did.
And Bicentennial.
And yes. Patch Adams.
Oh. Yeah. All
and
those,
Mrs.
All
Doubtfire.
Those, and all those things.
And Mrs. Doubtfire.
Which is great.
That's true.
Great,
yeah. Love.
I also watched the Dark Knight Rises.
Again.
Yeah. I still have all the same problems with it that I had before, but it's still very watchable.
Oh, it's extremely watchable. And like, I know I've had this argument with you two before. Of Nolan's trilogy, it is undoubtedly the weakest, but there's a lot to like in it. It feels like they cut it a bit too tightly. There's more stuff there.
The logic holes in it are...
Yeah, there are some plot holes there, definitely.
There's some narrative choices that are odd that kind of...
I don't mind the narrative choices.
Major problems with it.
I think they gutted it just a little too much. I think there's a director's cut out there somewhere. And I would pay anything.
Well, considering what Nolan, how much money those movies made,
I don't think he's
going to be able to present whatever the hell he wanted. So I presume that's his film.
I don't know. That film is already long enough. I'd say Warner might have balked at something. In any case, it doesn't matter. I can't wait for Interstellar. Hopefully, something special.
We shall see.
On the Fincher front, I was at the Jameson Cult Film Club screening of Fight Club.
Mm.
It's Fight Club, so it was brilliant.
You know, any time Fight Club comes up, most people do like it. I like it as well, but there's a significant minority of people who really do not have time for that film.
John McGuire and Donald Clark are fairly high up on the list of people who don't have time for
it. I can see why they would.
I think in the last... What was it? What year was it?
1999.
Yeah. So that's what,
15 years.
So looking at a reappraisal sense, I still think it's very good. I think it's how it's shot and what Fincher was doing at the time, I think, still stands up. But I think the kind of
the millennial angst thing.
Yeah. You think the moment's
it sags a little bit. Yeah, I think that's... And I think the time has been kind of in that regard. But I still think it's very inventive. Mm. Very, very interesting. The big reveal that's a little clunky.
It's a little clunky, but it doesn't mean that...
It gets away with it. But
it does get away with it.
But it's a little... When you watch it again, knowing that, it's a little... But it's interesting, and Pitt is superb. There's great scenes in it. Whether it adds up to a completely great movie, I don't know. It's a very good movie.
It is, and a very biting and harsh movie. Yeah. And you mentioned Pitt and Norton. One person who never gets enough praise for that film is Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, she's great. She's really, really good.
She is the proper end of the deranged spectrum there. She parodies that performance an awful lot these days. So
yeah,
that's probably true. And it was that kind of role that kind of made people sit up and take notice. She's not just somebody.
She's not just bodice rippers.
Helena bodice Carter.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, now all she does is that psychotic thing for, well, mostly for Tim Burton.
Yeah, well, one day maybe she'll come back.
Yes, yeah, perhaps.
So hello to Helena Bonham Carter.
Yes. Indeed.
I also watched the 2009 reboot of Star Trek.
I liked it.
It's fine. It's fun. It's. I'm not a Trekkie.
It must be about the 30th time that I've watched that film. It's,
you found
I will let that statistic tell its own story.
Yeah, we'll
it's my go-to comfort movie. So.
Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah.
And in the kind of rare minority, I really liked the sequel as well.
Yeah.
I'm not a Trekkie either. I thought the sequel was fine.
As did I.
I thought it got a lot of grief.
I gave it 4 stars last year when I reviewed it.
I think I would have given it 3.5. No problem. I thought it was briskly ran by and it was very enjoyable.
I don't dig the second one near as much as you two.
Apart from Cumberbatch,
Quinto, they're fine, but the plot is... I can barely remember the plot. All I know is...
The plot is fun. All the way through.
The opening 10 minutes very alone.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. It starts off really well, and then it kind of gets sagged under this character and who is
no,
he.
No, there is... The momentum
for the moment
is...
I bored. I thought it just... Yeah, I agree. And
yes, it flies like an arrow.
I remember watching it going, oh, it's over. Really?
Yeah.
That was really quick. And I rarely do that, which is, that's kind of my level. If I actually don't think about anything other than the movie.
I don't know. I just found the plot got a bit too involved in itself.
See, Philip, it wasn't made for you.
Well, it makes a change not being made for you, doesn't it?
It was made for me.
Yes, yeah.
So therefore,
almost anything that's like that is made for you, though. Now,
yeah. Comic book movie, sci-fi movie. Yeah, I'm just a gigantic nerd. So,
yeah. What would you want to say?
Shock and indeed horror.
And you're also tall.
Yeah.
So when you say gigantic nerd, you mean it.
So. On the the comic book fantasy front, news of Ant-Man.
Oh,
yeah, so I'm sorry, but this is important to me.
And to a lot of people that have too much time on hands.
So, a couple of weeks ago, Edgar Wright dropped out of Ant-Man. Yeah, I'm ignoring
sorry, that. Sorry, cheap shot.
Yeah. Edgar Wright dropped out of Ant-Man, and now, finally, after weeks of speculation, we have the new director. It is Yes Men director, Peyton Reed.
Finally, my choice has come in.
Peyton Reed, yes, he directed Yes Man. He also directed Bring It On and Down With Love.
Yes. Not the
what
best
a pedigree,
track record now, in fairness, but...
No, but I would say most any problems that are with those films are more the fault of the script than the director. Down With Love had a real... It got the period detail right. Now that doesn't mean
that
it actually
doesn't
managed
mean
to recapture the spirit.
I mean, my God, like I mean
it
should
the,
be able
it
to
got
do
the
that.
Look and the it managed to homage the 60s in its look and its style. Which
yes,
is,
but it forgot everything else.
Yeah, the script forgot just about anything
but
that
I'm
made
sorry,
John
the if that works, the director gets the praise. So I'm sorry if it doesn't work, I'd put a bit of blame his way. Maybe not completely, but
as you will.
I think you're being very generous.
Maybe I'm not necessarily saying he's a good director, and it's far from a good film, but yeah.
There are some lovely locational shots within Yes Men. Yes Men has this. There's one off the top off an observatory, or beside an observatory with Zoe Deschanel and Jim Carrey, and that it's a lovely. There's a lovely establishing shot into it. So he has some directorial vision.
Here's my question, though. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's made comedies.
Yeah.
Can this guy do action?
That's the question.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Because this. But. Every director linked with this. So they had Randall Turber.
Russell Marshall Turber,
yeah,
yes.
Who did the comedy. They had...
Ruben Fleischer.
Yeah, Ruben Fleischer, who...
I wouldn't
mind seeing
Ruben Fleischer do it.
I'd say I'd bring a little bit of an odd sensibility to it, maybe.
Yeah, but Gangster Squad was appalling.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it.
And
on the basis of Zombieland.
Yeah, and Adam McKay, who is pure comedy as well. So Adam McKay is attached to work on the script for this.
I guess that there is going to be, it's going to be slightly more comedic than your average superhero movie.
But it sounds the director's being offered.
Paul Rudd in the lead.
Yeah, but there's still going to have to be, it's still going to have some superhero basis. I mean, coherent action for one.
Also, you have to entertain the possibility, and there's still a possibility that a week and a half to 2 weeks from now, Peyton Reed drops out of it and ditches the film. I mean, it could happen, surely. I mean, this is going on.
It's Marvel. It's unlikely.
Yeah. I wouldn't rule out anything at this stage because it sounds like a fiasco, quite frankly.
It has the potential to be.
Yeah.
The biggest hope was that they'd just go, oh, we can't get director Edgar, come back and do your vision, but that was never going to happen.
No.
Somebody, I think it's, what's the studio executive put up, Michael Haneke. Michael Haneke to direct Ant-Man. Which...
Oh, man.
I want to see that.
That's going to haunt my nightmares. It'd just be a giant ant attacking a German village.
Delivering all over German village. Yeah. I want to see that movie. Make that one Marvel. Which are money.
Wait, Michael Douglas recast as Werner Herzog.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, but I would prefer that movie, but alas, we wait and see.
Yes.
Also, well, on different news away from the comic book side, but the person who has been cast in a comic book movie only recently, Josh Brolin, because he was cast as Thanos.
Stop linking tenuously to comic book movies for the love of God.
He's been cast as Thanos in.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing
Guardians. So, but he's now been cast in Hail Caesar.
The new Coen Brothers.
Yes, the new Coen Brothers movie.
Also announced, George Clooney is in that cast as well.
Yeah, so Clooney, Brolin, set in the 50s.
Set in Hollywood.
Set in Hollywood in the 50s, directed by the Coens, I'm in.
Right, Clooney and Brolin, it's going to be a macho-off.
Well, it's interesting, I've read a little bit about it. One of them will be playing Eddie Mannix, who was a kind of Hollywood fixer.
Oh, yes, indeed, that's going to be
played by Bob Hoskins in Hollywood Land.
Exactly.
Which I really like that film, actually.
It's actually a pretty decent film. It's got a bad rap, but I
think it's
actually
pretty good, so do I.
The film is said to be a comedy based on the work of real-life private eye Fred Oltash, a lifeguard turned cop.
I'm smelling a lot of Barton Fink here,
well,
and
see,
that's no
if
bad
if you read
thing.
A bit, Fred Oltash was a character in a lot of James Ellroy novels. Oh. Earlier, Ellroy was a small character, which is interesting.
If this has got the proper period setting, it will be beautiful.
I think this could be really good. And
if Ethan's back, especially.
Can we wait for the announcement of John Goodman to be named as anyone? And bring back Michael Lerner!
Oh, more Michael Lerner! We want more Michael
Kiss
Lerner.
This man's feet. He is a writer.
John Turturro as well in any role at all.
Yeah.
Preferably in a wig.
I want this movie with all those people. Anyway, we're in.
We're so in.
On sadder news, yesterday, the death of Rick Mile was announced.
Oh, poor Rick Mile.
Yeah, this is
now,
fun, isn't it?
At 56.
Oh, that's tragic.
He's so young.
Now, the thing is, right, we're a film podcast, and Rick Mile's film output, okay, fine, whatever about Blackadder or The Young Man's Bottom, but...
Drop Dead Fred and Guesthouse Paradiso.
It's gold.
They are the highlights. Ouch. Really. He would probably argue that he didn't really care. He's happy enough for the TV career.
He was cast as Peeves, the poltergeist in Harry Potter, but was cut. Yeah. So, you know, he's the only British thespian not to be in Harry Potter.
Just lucky.
Yeah. Drop Dead Fred, there's a lot of fans out there who base their love on it just on pure nostalgia. They must have rewatched it when they were a kid.
I think I might have seen it as a kid. I can't remember.
I won't put it. Terrible.
If I'm going to watch it, I'll watch the young ones.
And I get the feeling you just have an American cast, an American crew, who have this British actor along who's this big, loud, physical presence, and they have no idea what to do with him.
I watched it as a kid, but mostly for Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, so I can understand that.
Back to Ridgemont High with you, sir.
Yeah, ah well, it's sad news anyway. Regardless of this TV work, I would have watched it growing up as a kid, Young Ones.
Oh, yeah. Have we got a video?
Yes, that was Philip Boyd, not me. Clearly.
Flashheart in Blackadder.
Yes.
Woof!
Alan Bastard in The New Statesman as well, which I was a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah.
Edward
Elizabeth Hitler.
In the wonderful Bottom.
In Bottom, yeah.
That's a soundtrack to use.
Oh, it's just amazing. The physical comedy in that was just...
Copper tea, Richie.
It's just beating the head off one another with everything that came behind.
Yeah. What else do you say? Rest
we will miss
Spencer.
If not for his film output. No. But there you go. It was a talent regardless.
Yes.
He will be sorely missed. But in fairness, he was in An American Werewolf in London.
He was.
An awesome film. So.
That is a great film.
Hello to John Landis.
Indeed.
Stop making stuff like Burke and Hare. Get back to work.
Yes.
His book is brilliant. He wrote a book all about sort of special effects in the movies.
Oh, I've seen that. It
fabulous.
It's a gorgeous looking book.
Yeah.
Oh, I must look that up.
Yeah.
Yes, anyway.
On to news closer to home. The Galway Film Fla has announced its opening and closing film.
Ooh. Yes, it has.
So it is going to open with John Carney's, that's once director's, John Carney's new film, Begin Again, which was titled Can a Song Save Your Life, which I preferred, and stars Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley.
Yeah, I've read about this. It sounds... sounds okay, I guess.
The press screening for it was earlier today, and by and large, it got...
favorable.
Good reviews.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Well, we'd like that.
Wonderfully put earlier on, I read the story to it, and had, like, from John Carney, director of...
Once and Zonad.
It's like, yeah, I'd leave that one out.
Do you know what? I read that earlier. I had actually forgotten he did Zonad. I'd forgotten
Zonad
existed.
I think he wishes that...
He did a horror last year in the film flat called The Rafters.
That's right, it was Sammy Islands.
Yeah. It's a very strange film. It's not a very good film.
It's not going to release, I presume.
No, it's not. I wouldn't.
I'd like to see any Irish director doing well. Once is a very apt title because it's about the number of times I want to see it. It's fine.
Well, I like it.
It's charming.
It did well. It's a lovely little film.
I think so.
It's sweet.
It created a stage show.
True.
And it has a really nice ending, I think. A nice, a little
it's
bittersweet ending.
It is
really,
quite bittersweet. I appreciate that about it. It's fine.
Did you see what's happening with Once, the stage musical?
Do tell.
The sequel Twice is coming out.
No. Roland Keating is going to be playing the Glenn Hansard role.
I got to say something here.
Okay.
That does not belong on a podcast of this nature. I don't want to know that news.
No.
Get out of here, Roland Keating. No, hello to Roland Keating.
No, indeed not. And he's come up before in this, having sullied Pulsman Pat for me. He's doing it again.
He is. He's out of the podcast. He's blacklisted, isn't he?
But
were we ever having him on?
Should he ever want to come on? So sorry, Ronan. Not today.
But Begin Again, I mean, Mark Ruffalo and Keira Knightley, that's good. It's got soundtrack by Adam Levine.
Ooh.
So,
impressive credentials.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The closing film...
Now, this interests me.
...is an Irish language film. It's called On Bruntness from Tom Collins.
Who did the Kings film.
Yeah, Kings is a really good
Celtic
film.
Celtic noir. Coast of Connemara and in Australia.
I read that
if this is good, we could actually enter a bloody film into Best Foreign Language Film, which would be a rare novelty. Yeah, if it's good enough, fingers crossed.
How many official full length Irish language features are there?
Not very
not
few.
Many. I had this discussion a little while ago.
Kings is one.
I believe the first. As if I'm not there. It's not Irish language, but in terms of
I believe the first one was Putin from back 1979, as I recall.
And there's another one in between, which I had a discussion about a while ago, and I cannot remember the name. Save my life. But I think that might get the sum total of it. I'm surprised it's not done more. I was at an IFI.
It's hard to get financing for it because nobody will go watch it.
But there was an IFI panel last year talking about Irish film, and I think it was Tom Hall who directed Sensation, made a point that maybe we bloody should be making films in Irish, because then you're competing against arthouse films as opposed to competing against blockbusters, because English language films
they'll translate abroad.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you're not competing in that market anymore. People are looking at it as maybe this is in a different language, so you can put it within, beside the French film, beside the Italian film, or whatever. Mm. And it's a very interesting point and a very interesting argument.
Indeed.
In terms of going forward. I'd like to see more of it.
I think... We have a capacity for making great niche stuff.
Yeah. And that would be a perfect fit.
More focus on maybe Irish language film, maybe more documentary.
Maybe an arm
things
of
like
it.
That.
I mean, Pat Collins, you could argue, gets into that a bit.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the time. So, I mean, maybe he's the one-man arm of that operation in some ways. But
we need more people on that arm.
Yes,
we can enter foreign language shorts as well. And we have a great animation.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely.
Animation is great.
So we should be doing more and more. Absolutely.
I mean, you would think there'd be a commitment to do X amount of features per year. Maybe something like that, a minimum, maybe 10% or whatever. I don't know many films released.
Irish Film Board, over to you.
Yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see.
Well, I'm working with, I'm financing an Irish language film called Boss.
Oh.
Which will be out
hopefully
later this year. Yeah, so I get producer
short film is it or feature?
Yeah, short. I get producer credit on that. I'll also be a producer on Butterfly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So yes, I will have my own IMDb page soon.
Well, we remember when he had nothing.
Yeah. Wasn't that long ago.
It was 5 minutes ago, wasn't it? But anyway,
we were having coffee and he wasn't.
So yes. The film Flying Galway will be on from July 8th to 13th. So we look forward to that.
Indeed.
Yes.
So, moving on to the Irish box office top 10.
Yes.
Bam,
bam, bam, bam, bam.
And at 10, it's the comedy of the summer so far.
So far.
Bad Neighbours. Universal's Bad Neighbours.
Yep. You guys liked it. I haven't seen it. Excellent.
As I say, it's okay, but you cannot argue with 1.8 million in the Irish box office.
No, it's pretty good.
That is great return.
That is... It's funny. And that is all you really need from a comedy.
I don't know. I'd have liked a bit more from this, to be perfectly honest. But, as you say, as a comedy, it's... Yeah, it's
well, if you
fine.
Pull in the Mark Kermode six laughs test, it passes that. Mostly for the airbags. You get six laughs during the airbag scene alone. So
I don't know. I counted maybe about three laughs for me from that. I've got a couple of others. I'd say, in terms of big belly laughter, about five. I'm on the borderline.
Scraping
here.
Over the line, essentially.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It's nice to see Rose Byrne do.
It's always wonderful
something
to see Rose
proper.
She's a sport. That's why I think she's just a wonderful actress. She goes for anything that this script will throw at.
And she's got her native accents as well, so that's lovely too.
Yes.
Good for her.
Yes. Nice to hear her Rasmus.
Good for Niall, by the sounds of things.
Yes.
I like Rose Byrne.
Everybody likes Rose Byrne.
At nine.
Nobody likes number nine.
In its first week.
And yes.
First and last week, despite opening in 41 cinemas. Grace of Monaco.
The disastrous, by all accounts, story
also,
of Grace.
Nearly 33,000 euros.
Yeah,
so
but
that's
it's the per location. On
yeah,
but
if
for
it's,
first if, week, 760 quid is...
But I will say that if you say you cost it at a tenner a ticket, that's like 3,000 people really found the money and the time to go and see that film.
Yeah, but just as many people went to see Bad more people went to see Bad Neighbours.
In its fifth week.
Grace of Monaco is a film that spectacularly dropped the ball, right? So here's a film that where you're talking about the life of one of cinema's icons. Grace Kelly is an icon in Hollywood, right?
And not only is she a movie icon, she then becomes a princess.
Yeah.
The marketability is off the charts.
So you decide to make a movie about the politics of the Monaco, its taxation treaties with
France. Star Wars again, really, isn't it?
This is...
taxation treaties nobody
cares
about.
It's nice to be able to include Charles de Gaulle because people are familiar with who Charles de Gaulle is.
He's the airport, isn't he?
Exactly. He's the guy they named the airport after. He definitely wasn't the leader of France after the war.
No.
But it's...
That's sarcasm, by the way, folks.
Yeah, he really was. Anyway,
But,
and if you doubt it, just go rewatch Day of the Jackal. In fact, instead of going to watch Grace of Monaco, just rewatch the Day of the Jackal.
But it's just Nicole Kidman tries valiantly to do something in it, but she's not given an awful lot to do.
Other than look and sound regal,
and turn up in rooms and implausible conversations, and where it doesn't seem like she really was. It's based on a true story. You know, it's one of
and
these,
yet it seems made up.
Yeah, no, it's a fictional take on a true story. It actually opens with that. So, it's
why?
Problematic.
Why?
I think we may have spent enough on this. We won't see it again.
And by all accounts,
adios.
So have Irish audiences.
Yes.
Yeah. 32,000 in its first week.
Somebody,
goodbye.
We won't see the sequel, I wouldn't imagine.
We need to get a proper film with...
Oh, Philip.
That's
a yellow card.
Yeah, sorry. I hate myself for that.
No.
Where do you go from that? I mean,
up.
I'm saying we need to see a better film with Tim Roth and with Nicole Kidman and Frank Langella in it. Because, I mean, three
when
of them
is the last
act.
Time we've seen those in any film? That's the question.
Nicole Kidman, let me think. I like Stoker.
Yeah.
Tim Roth. Ooh, you could be going back a bit now. Broken's all right.
Hmm?
Broken's okay, yeah.
Yeah. Frank Langella. Ooh, I'm
he's good in Frost Nixon.
Yeah, but the film isn't.
Yeah, but we'll give him
isn't.
That, though.
Okay, anyway. So I just
He's good in Grace of Monaco, too, but...
Yeah.
But the only thing.
Yeah.
And
there's some nice cameos. And it looks pretty. But there's moments when Olivia Dehan seems to be just playing tricks with cameras and trying to get angles and close-ups on faces. And
sounds exhausting.
Yeah, no, it's just not worth your time at all.
Speaking of not worth your time...
More worthy of your time. At number 8 is Godzilla.
This is not doing as well as I had thought. It's fourth week. It's still okay, but like, it's already got 1.25 million at the Irish box office.
And that's not
going to happen.
It's okay. It'll make a little over one tree.
Also, who cares? I mean, it's done well in the States. I mean, we're dropping the ocean in terms of the budget. And
yeah, but...
It's done well enough to already greenlight
the
sequel.
Exactly. That's the thing.
But it started off well.
Are we talking word of mouth then?
Yes. It's dropped off as time has gone on. This is his fourth week of release now, and yeah, I expected this to hang on a bit better. I really did.
We could be seeing the end of it.
I'll
answer that in a week where the World Cup comes out. Probably not going to see too many new films.
We're looking at a summer in which the box office fatigue has already set in.
It really has this year.
I'd agree with that.
It's set in early June.
That's early.
It's because it started so early.
I was going to say that. I mean, this summer started. I've been watching blockbusters for months.
This is a risk that anybody marketing or promoting or release distributing blockbusters has not taken into account. Every year, for the last few years now, it has felt like the summer season has started earlier and earlier.
And lasted about 6 months.
Yeah, like this year, Captain America? That was released
end of March.
Yeah.
End of March. That's exhausting. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, but look, Jupiter Ascending has now moved to February of next year.
To
bring back the car wreck thing from earlier on, everybody knows surely from that trailer that it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, you try and dump that in the middle of a season where people are trying to catch up on their Oscar movies. Has stinker written all over
they
it.
They were probably quite smart to pull it in some ways.
Probably.
Well, we'll get back to why they pulled it in a few minutes.
Okay.
At 7... Irish film, nice to see you again. Ken Loach's Jimmy Hall. Jimmy's Hall. Is it Jimmy Hall? Like, is it that?
I'm guessing. I haven't seen it. I'm guessing the character isn't named Jimmy Hall.
No,
pity.
No.
But that's doing quite well.
It's okay. I mean, it's not too much of a drop either.
No. It has a 29% drop. So it's now made €154,000.
It's done better than I thought it would.
I didn't know
where the audience was.
It has done almost as well as Frank, which is a much starrier proposition.
Frank was never going to get my mother to go watch it, whereas Jimmy's Hall will.
There's the difference, you see.
Jimmy's Hall appeals to that older audience. I saw two gentlemen here in the Lighthouse last weekend, and they must have been in their late 70s, early 80s, and they were here to see Jimmy's Hall because they actually remembered the time when it happened.
Oh, there you go. Who caters for that audience, really? So
not very many people.
Philomena did.
Exactly.
Philomena made a lot of money from the older market, the Grey Pound.
There is that. The Americans talk about films in hitting four quarters. There is those films that have to appeal to the older audience. You know, the X-Men is not going to appeal to people in their 60s. It's unlikely to do that.
So they could be made for you, Jay.
It could be.
It's a definition of counter-programming.
But it works. It works.
It's like what happened in America this weekend with The Fault in Our Stars, The Fault in Our Stars came out in America opposite Edge of Tomorrow and made an absolute killing, but it had an 80% female audience and a 75% under the age of 25. So it had a very specific target.
It knew what it was going after and it owned.
Yeah, absolutely. It did very, very well. And it will do very, very well when it opens here next week.
Much to the detriment of Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, well, not to the Edge of Tomorrow is already out here, so it's not going to...
I just feel sorry.
And Edge of Tomorrow is not fishing for the same audience.
It certainly is not.
No, mm-hmm.
But we'll come back to it.
We will.
Very shortly.
At 6, Postman
Philip
Pat.
Philip Seger film. The year so far?
Shut up. Move on.
A 3% drop.
Wow. Animation wins again.
It doesn't matter what you release. I could knock out a 90-minute animated film but just to somebody to distribute it, and it'll probably make £1 million. That's insane.
Dear Brown Bag Animation, if you're listening...
Release a feature quickly before the market force. Get one out there. It doesn't matter what it is.
Or Cartoon Saloon.
I need to put something out there. It doesn't matter.
A 3% drop.
Again, the weather had an impact.
Yeah.
But
good lord, though. I mean,
It is.
I'm baffled by that.
It's going to make more than €250,000 in Ireland. And
I suspect it will
be bad.
It might hang on a little longer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good lord, what are wrong with people? Anyway.
Well, it's the only animation in the top 10.
Here's, then the Marcus is its to own.
Yep. Well, the Lego movie's coming out in DVD soon.
Woo! Everything is awesome.
So, Jay, are you singing?
I love that film.
Just in time when absolutely every parent in the country is sick to the back teeth of Frozen, out comes the Lego movie on DVD.
It's going to make so much more money.
Oh, good. And point. It deserves it.
It does deserve it.
At five, the most disappointing comedy of the summer.
A Million Ways to Die in the West.
Can I not read a five-star review recently?
There is a five-star review on Scanon. I do not hold with that review. I would have given it 2 at a push.
I'm not surprised that it turned out disappointing. No. The box office figures, it's doing okay.
It's
considering the reviews plus the genre.
40.
Plus the fatigue of Seth MacFarlane's one joke.
And facing off against another comedy opening in the same week.
It's still so, alright.
A 43% drop is a big drop, but it's still made
hope it goes
71,000 this weekend. So
I'm not holding my breath for a million and one ways.
I was wondering, would you do a million ways to die in the West or 2 million ways to die in the West?
If Seth MacFarlane wants to offend even more people...
A million more ways to die in the West.
No, a million ways to die in the East.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'll get all those xenophobia and racist jokes.
Would you put it past him?
No, I would not. I don't care.
A million ways to die in the North could have been what they called this week from Game of Thrones.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed, I nice think.
Yes. At four, also in its second week, is the Tom Cruise starring Doug Liman directed Edge of Tomorrow.
This is not doing near as well as anybody would have hoped. And I'm disappointed in that.
There's been a lot of discussion on Twitter this week about it, which I've partaken in a little bit, and I know you have not.
Oh, I have been, yes.
Yeah,
been,
this is yes, Zylus has kind of led a lot of this. About theories as to why and why not.
Well, the reason why are not the film itself. The film is actually very enjoyable and quite well made.
And from what practically everybody says, it's good.
It is. It is.
It's a well-made film. And I like Doug Liman, generally speaking.
But, like I was saying before release, it looks quite generic.
The first trailer was dreadful.
Yeah.
It was.
The change of name to the most bland name possible didn't help.
Tom Cruise and Oblivion last year, when people were disappointed generally by that.
See, that was my point. I made a point about whether Tom Cruise is bankable in those terms.
Well, it's going to make his money back and then some. Well, it's not going to flop.
Oh, no, it will, but it's not a...
It's not going to be any huge...
There won't be an Edge of Tomorrow too, I'm presuming.
No. But look at it this way. Is Tom Cruise going to be analysing these box office figures? No, he's already at work on his next film.
Mission Impossible 5.
Why doesn't Tom Cruise...
Now, that is going to be a hit. It won't matter to him.
That's a
Christopher
franchise.
McQuarrie, who wrote Edge of Tomorrow screenplay, is directing Mission Impossible 5.
He also directed Jack Reacher.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner's back.
He also directed Wave the Gun, which I really like.
I enjoy Wave the Gun.
Yeah.
So, the thing about Edge of Tomorrow, it is a very good film, and I encourage anyone who likes a good summer blockbuster to go see it.
I'm going to try to see it before the World Cup starts.
It is the reason why Jupiter Ascending got pushed.
Really?
Okay.
Warners saw that this was underperforming. They decided to push Jupiter Ascending out of the way, lest they have two flops or... films viewed as flops in the same quarter.
Right. Well, Edge of Tomorrow it's not quite a flop.
An international number seemed to be a little better.
Yeah.
A little.
But, the films that are perceived as being flops, John Carter of Mars, made $286 million worldwide of a $260 million budget.
But that's not making as much.
That's
as
not making as
much.
Plus,
you marketed that.
It's a 1.5 to 2x multiplier. Yeah.
Now,
and again, the John Carter Mars and the Lone Ranger, the two of them made close to $300 million. This will make close to $300 million.
But can I make a point though?
That's not going to be quite enough though, because
$160 million budget.
That's a lot of money.
Something like John Carter Mars, which and to some degree Edge of Tomorrow falls into this category as well. Maybe less so Lone Ranger. If you're going to do something like that, where it's an original, unknown quantity kind of thing, it's not a sequel, it's not a franchise, it's not anything, Surely you've got to be putting the budget down a little bit. 260 million on John Carter and Mars sounds insane to me. Mm. I mean, maybe they can't do it for less than that. Maybe they shouldn't be doing it. I mean, it sounds like crazy money for some. I could see why you'd greenlight a sequel and pay X amount. If it's an X-Men movie, yeah. It's a Spider-Man movie, whatever.
John Carter of Mars was... most films are storyboarded, or most action sequences are storyboarded sure. beforehand, so that they know where to place the cameras and all the rest for the action sequences. John Carter of Mars was entirely rendered in animation form before a single frame was shot.
I dare say it might actually be a little better than the live-action version.
Yeah. So we had Andrew Stanton coming from Pixar. He basically animated the film first and then shot it. That's where $260 million went.
That's a waste of money, though, isn't it?
It is. It's an absolute waste of money.
You see, he was used to the kind of more of longer schedules that are come with animation.
If you cannot put a feature film together without animating the first, maybe you shouldn't be directing the feature film.
I don't think he should have been.
Don't get me wrong, I love Finding Nemo. I'm a fan of him, so I'm not having a go with him, but that seems ludicrous to me.
Yeah, Brad Bird didn't need to do it for Mission Impossible 4.
No, and it made a fine film.
He did. That is the best of that franchise, by a country mile.
Well, yeah, maybe. I had a soft spot for 3.
Yes, that's a film. Seymour Hoffman's soft spot.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Nah.
But, yeah.
We miss you, Phil.
You certainly do.
Edge of Tomorrow is good, but it does suffer from the francification of the summer. Basically, all the summer is now is sequel... or franchise or something. Disney,
or young adult movies.
And this gets
Disney and Marvel, or Disney, because it's the parent company of Marvel, have this policy now where they're going to release a Pixar movie every year, they're going to release a Star Wars movie every year, they're going to release a superhero movie every year, and one of the Disney fairy tales retold in live action every year.
This is the Starbucksification of our summer schedules. Yeah. Hooray.
It's hard for another studio to compete. Warner's has the proper back catalogue to do it, right? Warner's has DC.
Yeah.
It is the only one that's out there that has it that can offer a proper threat.
And by looking at this, it's fudging.
They don't know what the hell they're doing. It's so disappointing.
I think Warner's, they're one of the few studios who can afford to take a risk on things like Edge of Tomorrow. It used to be once upon a time that the films that cost between 10 and 60 million were the ones that didn't make any money. Now, it's the ones that are getting far too expensive. They're the ones that you're risking, like Edge of Tomorrow.
But the rewards are huge, so if it gets it right.
Yeah. Spending $100 million on advertising, a $100 million marketing budget will get back $250 million minimum.
But then you've got to make a film for $100 million.
Yeah, but you have to have the film to justify that marketing spend. And the problem is that that's a film that starts at $100 million.
Yeah.
Start and goes on from there.
I should imagine then, where you're talking about in the summer plans for Star Wars movies, etc.
That's just Disney. Yeah.
Are we talking about then other studios competing by counter-programming, essentially?
The $20-30 million comedy is the counter-programming.
Look at Batman.
And that's becoming more and more. You can see it even like the number one, number 10, number 5, I suppose, if it was any good. But there they are.
Well, Ted was, you know. So that's where Universal came from.
No, that's Batman, what I'm saying. Yeah. The 10, 5, and 1, you could argue, are those this summer's version of it so far.
Yeah. Oh, so moving on to, and keeping in the franchisification of the summer, is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Down from number 1 for the last 2 weeks.
Yep, down from last week's number 1 to number 3. 46% drop, was still doing very, very well. Made 1.6 million so far. So it is.
Should cross the 2.
It will, it'll make the 2. Yeah.
No problem with that.
Good for them.
It's not a bad film.
No, it's a good film.
It's not.
A safe pair of hands, that is, Bryan Singer.
Yes.
For this franchise, especially.
Rumour has it Fox are looking elsewhere.
Fox
because
are idiots
the pending legal actions against Bryan Singer are making them a little uncomfortable.
Well, I'll tell you
and
something.
They are looking around.
If I was Fox, I'd wait out the pending legal issues before I start shopping around for a new director because Singer knows what he's doing.
He's the one director so far who absolutely gets this.
And seems to have a sensibility towards it.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with a stable the size of the X-Men,
and it's enormous.
It's just incredible. Yeah. There are more X-Men comic book characters than there are all the other Marvel comic book characters combined.
Yikes.
Good lord, that hurts my head just thinking about it.
So, it's quite crazy, because you have X-Force as well as X-Men, and you have the future X-Men, the past X-Men.
Stop. I can't take them in. I can't take this in. Oi.
So, X-Men Days of Future Past, actually still holding strong. Still, good film, so it's nice to see that's doing well. Mm. At two is Disney's Maleficent.
This is doing quite well.
This is actually the kind of the opposite in some ways of... Richard Horror seems to have just taken off. Like, I mean, particularly in the States, it's done very well.
I would almost want to put this down to one factor.
Yeah, the Angelina Jolie factor. Yeah.
Good for her, though. She can open like that. That's fantastic. Like.
Yeah.
And, I've always been a fan, so excellent.
It's a role that she very much owns.
Yeah.
It's the film itself is a little sappy for a film about a Disney villain.
Yeah.
It's a little... Well, if you say a Disney villain, then you can realise why it's sappy. But it's... and it retcons Sleeping Beauty a little.
The fact that you have to use a verb like retcon with Sleeping Beauty kind of gets me down.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
because there's... I'm not going to go into why it retcons Sleeping Beauty, but it does. Mm. And it's fine... But there's some very strange things in it. You have Elle Fanning is quiet and
Charlton Copley. He's a pretty strange thing.
Kind of forgettable. Charlton Copley's accent is very. He decided to do Scottish for some reason.
Could somebody please tell that man stop doing accents? He's not good at it. He gave two of the worst performances I saw last year, and he just needs to stop.
Yeah, it's. I don't know.
It is.
The Angelina Jolie show, and while you're watching her, it is a very good film. So,
Dis Angie all you want, but I think she is a great actor.
I think she's great. I think she's actually fantastic and always worth watching.
And people are.
Excellent. Good to see.
Even though it's so often in stuff that can't compete with her.
Yeah, I'd like to see with the right role. You can imagine with the right director, she'd be fabulous, wouldn't she?
Well, she's directing... herself.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, soon, and so. She's a fine director. I would argue, well, potentially.
And at number one, straight in with a bullet, and more than 500,000 in its first week. 500 million would be amazing.
Wow, that's a 60 locations.
Yeah, from 60 locations, 8,588 euro per location. That is a big haul. That's in the top 10 of the year. Yeah. 22 Jump Street.
Well done, all involved. It's no surprise it's done well because they have marketed the heck out of it.
But yeah,
some great reviews as well.
That has helped.
Yeah.
It is a very, very, very enjoyable film. I've seen it twice now, and
I haven't seen it yet, but I can't wait.
I can't wait, but I will see it.
It is good. It is. I really like Channing Tatum in it, and I really did not like Channing Tatum 5 years ago. 5 years ago, if you had said to me Channing Tatum is going to be a proper movie star, I would have said that you're an absolute idiot. But he has.
He's got charm. He has fair.
He has an unbelievable charisma, and in this, in particular, he is very charismatic.
And I heard he's great in Foxcatcher coming up as well.
For those who might be so inclined, he's easy on the eyes.
He's good at Magic Mike as well. I liked Magic Mike, and it's a
sequel to which is on the way, I believe.
Yes, indeed, there is a sequel.
Magic Michael. I think they call it.
It's an even worse name, I think.
Where Steven Soderbergh fired himself, and then got somebody to give him a job.
Steven Soderbergh's back as a cinematographer.
It's very odd. He just directed things to even stop.
Steven Soderbergh is a better cinematographer than he is director.
Oh. And I'm no lover of the last few Soderbergh films, with the exception of Magic Mike. And I'd say that's a controversial statement.
That is.
I'm telling you, he's a very good director, but he's an incredible cinematographer.
He's a great cinematographer, but he is a great director as well.
He has an eye.
Did you mention, or did somebody mention the other night on my 90s Movie Talking Sunday, Soderbergh's run?
It was about
9 films or something, and a pretty good standard.
I was thinking about this, just to kind of put this in context, in case there's anybody on there who doesn't do Twitter. But Movie Talk on Sunday, it's a thing where the given host for the night asks 10 questions on a particular subject about movies. This time it was Jay, he was discussing 90s movies.
Yeah.
And one of your questions was...
Could anybody compete with the Coen Brothers run of the 90s?
Yeah.
Which was... Miller's Crossing,
Barton Fink, Hudsucker Proxy,
Big Lebowski, and Fargo.
I was thinking about this, and I saw somebody mention Soderbergh.
Yeah.
And I've thought back on his films. the 90s started with Kafka, which is shaky. What else? He also did King of the Hill, which is very good.
I like King of the Hill.
The Underneath, which is also kind of shaky.
I've never seen it.
I saw it once. I just remember it being okay, but Peter Gallagher's in it, so I'll go see it anyway.
Yeah.
What else did he make?
And Peter Gallagher's eyebrows.
Oh, those are the best eyebrows ever. Who else? Or what else, rather? Schizopolis, which is a strange little film. Fascinating, but strange. Yeah, I don't think you could say he was really solidly on a game until he actually made Out of Sight. And then made Traffic and Aaron Brockovich. So I don't know.
He made a lot, but he's always kind of been fairly prolific.
But he's fascinating. Anyway, he will keep you on your toes. I mean,
there was some lovely nods there. Mike Lee was a good show.
That was a good pick.
I'd pull that out. Yeah. I like that. I'm proud of that.
Mm.
He's some of my favourite films. These were Mike Lee films.
Surprised. He's great.
Like, there's two at least that are right in the mix.
Naked.
And, yeah, and Secrets and Lies.
I like Secrets and Lies a lot.
Naked is a phenomenal film.
It is. David Thewlis. He's never been better.
That's one of the great performances. It's one of the great performances. He makes me sad, and he makes me want to hug him, and makes me want to hit him. He wants me to do everything.
And in Big Lebowski, just makes me laugh.
Oh, he's so good.
That was my impersonation of David Thewlis in The Big Lebowski. Let us never
he's
speak of this
so
again.
So good. Anyway, yeah.
We're way off point
yes,
here.
Yes, we're going to move on to the new good releases Lord. For the week. Because, this week quickly running out of time.
What?
Yeah.
You suggest we're rambling.
So first up is Belle. So Belle is a nice story. It's about a young girl who is the illegitimate daughter of a British Royal Navy captain in the late 18th century. She is black. She's raised in an all-white household, in his household, and she never quite fits in. And so it's about race relations in that Victorian period.
Mm. I think that's potentially interesting material, but any marketing I've seen for this so far,
it looks
very worthy, very polite,
yeah.
Very, I'll put it this way, after 12 years a slave, this just looks like it's really pulling any potential punches.
But I would argue, though, if you've seen the TV ads from when 12 Years a Slave came out, you could argue the same point. That they were very soft and very wordy, and you know, one of the greatest films of all time, sweeping music, where the film is anything but that, in the sense of it's
great,
really
it's
dark,
harrowing.
And,
really,
but you wouldn't think that from the TV trailers of that particular film.
But then again,
I
don't. How rough could Belle possibly be?
I wouldn't imagine.
No,
very,
it doesn't. It's a merchant
so.
Ivory type production.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's,
which it looked like.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is fine.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, you get something of the caliber of Remains of the Day, and you're. You're laughing, well, that's what you're aiming for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Also,
that's the big release this week. It's going to be a slow week.
Yeah, well, it is because the World Cup starts on Thursday.
Yay.
Oh, good grief. Is this all anybody's going to
do? Do you know what
we
should have done? I know, we can do it next week. Maybe a top 10 on sports movies, football movies.
Football movies is difficult.
Sports movies. Well, we know what your number one is automatically, anyway.
Do we?
Raging Bull.
Well, yeah, that's what I don't really consider a sports movie.
Ooh, it's so much more than that.
Boxing
anyway.
Isn't a sport. Is that what you're saying? That's terrible.
I'm not getting into that.
It's very
out.
Controversial.
I'm not
next.
Next out is Benny and Jolene. Which, I'm sorry, just looks appalling.
Every review I've read of it says this is dreadful.
Yeah, so I've heard the same thing. A quirky folk duo.
It's not my kind of thing straight off the bat. And
no.
It cost apparently practically nothing to make. $12,000 already.
That's a good thing.
No, it is.
It'll make his money back. At least.
If it's rubbish and it costs nothing, then you're
yeah.
right.
That's true.
I don't know. I could see this being remade with Zooey Deschanel and make a bomb. Call us a hunch.
Hmm.
At the very least, it's the kind of role she'd fit into.
Oh, yeah. Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah.
How are we still having to deal with those? They've completely ruined my expectations.
The Fault in Our Stars is a Manic Pixie Dream Boy, you know. So, fair.
I suspect that film is not made for me.
Based on a young adult novel.
Yeah, good
really? Lord. Yeah, okay.
3/4 of films released these days are based on a young adult novel.
Next film out, Irish film, Food Guide to Love, with Richard Coyle and Lenore Watling.
Any relation, Jay?
No, of course. I do like Rich Holland. He's very good in Grabbers.
He is an excellent Grabbers.
He's really, really good. So I'd be inclined towards it a little bit.
I've seen it.
And?
I like it.
I heard mixed things.
Yeah, it's fluff. But it's enjoyable fluff. You know, it's the kind of film that you would have, that you can bring your girlfriend or wife to, and
she'd hit you in the car or something like that. And she likes horror movies.
No, yeah, hello, well, to the missus, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
It is a perfect sort of date movie. It's not doing nothing new with the genre, but it isn't a bad film. Dublin looks lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard that. That's one thing I've read.
Yeah, so
interestingly, I heard, like, I mean, in terms of being released, where is it being released? I presume just.
It was, well, here, I don't know where
it's
else.
In the White House. I think it's in Cineworld as well.
It'd be interesting to see, in terms of the World Cup week, whether it can get any traction.
Again, the counter-programming.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's our wonderful
definition of counter-programming, a rom-com.
It'd be interesting to see if it does anything.
It takes a slightly different view on the rom-com. It's not It's not as
generic
as normal. He's a bit of a prat. And
would you guess this from the advertising, though? Probably not.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to put that out there. But, you know, it'd be interesting to see.
Mm. But Dublin looks amazing. The food in it looks amazing.
It's called The Food Guide to Love. I think that's a clue.
Yeah, but he's a author of books. He has a column in the newspaper where he talks about food and cooking.
I imagine there's a lot of food metaphors in this.
There are, but it works. At one point, there's a whole meeting of these sort of hardcore vegetarian sort of animal liberation guys, and that's quite funny. Also out this week on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, horror film Oculus. So yes, Jason has seen this.
I have seen this. It's interesting. It was Karen Gillan, I believe, was Doctor Who fame.
She was his companion.
Yeah, and Brendan Thwaites, who I'd never seen in anything before. And the brilliant Katie Sackhoff as the mother in the film from Battlestar Galactica, if any fans?
Starbuck,
exactly. Yeah. It's a horror film. It's what it tries to do is interesting. There's the story of these two kids who are in the house. Their dad buys a mirror, and the mirror seems to kind of infect the family. The parents go a little crazy. And alongside that, then, there's a story of 11 years later, when the two kids are older, the older brother's getting out of a kind of mental facility, for want of a better word, and she goes to him and says, "We have to finish what we started. I've tracked down the mirror." So you got this hand in hand, back and forth thing, which intriguing enough, and some quite very well put together jumps in it. But there's a major problem though, in the sense that because they're 11 years later doing whatever, you know, when the scenes
in the past,
from 11 in the past, that they get out okay and they're fine. And it fatally undermines attention.
They're physically.
Yeah, but
definitely not.
But you kind of know exactly well before it gets to the end of the previously time that we're like in it. It robs the last act particularly of any. It's interesting. It's not very good, but there's some good stuff in it.
Well, that's what prequels suffer from quite commonly. Yeah. Is that scene.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you can take away the. If you don't make it the mystery, the central idea.
When it's all happening within the one film.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it could be interesting.
It doesn't quite work. If the whole thing wasn't set up to make it feel like, oh, the tension, what's going to happen, it'd be fine. But the fact that it does do that when you already kind of know, just kind of unbalance it. It's interesting. I kind of liked it a little bit. There's some very good scenes in it, but not a very good film.
Well, I don't know. I've read some, I wouldn't say mixed reviews, I read actually contradictory reviews. Very, very strange.
Some saying very good, some saying.
Yeah.
I get a lot of horrors, I find, anyway, horror films. It seems some people either buy in some or don't.
Well, you see, the thing is, horror more than any other genre is just, it has its fans and has people who absolutely loathe it. So,
but I think there's a horror fans, particularly hardcore horror fans, review horror films differently than people review films. They're a little more forgiving.
So I think you always have to be wary about any horror.
Whereas I'd review a horror film, I could review any film. What? So the standards apply. Oh, where people seem to have a slightly lower standard for horror films, I think.
What did the great horror fan Scott Weinberg say?
He quite liked it, and he sent me his review because I asked him about it. Oh, was that the film or something? I think it is. But I think he liked it.
Yeah.
From what I gather, it seems to. I think across the pond, it seems to be getting a little more positive reviews than. We'll see. I haven't read any from over here yet, so we'll see what we should say. But it's not bad.
Well, I will check it out probably when it comes out on DVD. Also out this week in the IFI, is Of Horses and Men. Six interconnected stories. Well, they're interconnected through the fact that they're all about horses.
And the people who own them, maintain them,
this
ride them,
kind
whatever.
Of sounds great.
It yeah. sounds really strange. And I kind of want to see this because of how singularly strange it sounds.
And because Iceland has that otherworldly feel to it anyway, and you put something like this in it, I kind of this intrigues me.
Comedy, should point that out. It's pitched very much at kind of a farcical level.
Horse walks into a bar. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Even the title seems to be
It's Fish
of
Higher
anyway.
Than That. Of Horses.
Like, I'd say that kind of has almost like a Gods and Men or... Like
of Mice and... I imagine there's very
there's
little...
Yeah, there's a play on that. Like,
I doubt it's very little... It has very little in common with Steinbeck. But hey, I'd certainly be keen to give it a go.
Yeah, yeah.
Then also out this week, another Irish film, Northern Irish film, Road, based on the Dunlops.
Motorcycle
racing family.
And not an area I'm particularly familiar with. I'm aware of Dunlops, and there's two brothers, and one of the brothers has two kids that do it as well. That's pretty much all I know, except Liam Neeson does the narration.
Yeah, so...
I heard good things.
Yeah, well,
we
sent Amanda, she gave it 4.
Fine review
as well. She's a big fan,
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, if you're interested in motorcycling, and even if you're not, if you just like a good documentary, this is meant to be one. And it's close to home. Most people are familiar with who the Dunlops are, so it'll be worth checking out. And narrated by Liam Neeson.
Can I just say again how good Liam Neeson's voice work is in The Lego Movie?
Yes,
it's just fantastic. I'm sorry, dude. Sorry,
Hi, buddy. Would you like a glass of water?
And then the pop.
Hi, mommy. Hi, daddy. It's just, too bad.
It's just great. Sorry, I just think about it all day. I thought read that Neeson had done this.
Yeah. Oh, Liam Neeson. You know what's awesome? Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Liam Neeson kicking chairs.
Yeah.
I just remember that gag.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring that up. I just
the last new release of the week, the young and prodigious. T.S. Spivitt.
That's a little...
that's a mouthful.
That's a tongue twister.
This is an IFI exclusive. This is a
in 3D.
Yeah, this is an intriguing thing. Yes. Besides that title, it's a children's film in 3D from Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Yeah, I've been a fan back in the day.
Oh, yeah. He's
it's been
always
a while since
visually
I've seen anything. Yeah,
dazzling.
Yeah, no argument there.
And he's never, never going to top Amelie. But...
Oh,
no,
well, delicatessen, you could argue, I would. Delicatessen. Sorry.
Ooh.
Amelie's a very pretty little film.
Amelie is fine, but it's way overrated in my opinion. Anyway, sorry.
It's ultimate feel goodness, I am sorry. I have no shame.
Our French scholar is a fan, so therefore...
Oh, quelle surprise.
Who's our French scholar?
Moi.
All right, yeah. Sorry, I should really
not
know that.
Have you studied my CV? Like
Monsieur Bagnell.
Philippe. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway.
Bonsoir. Anyway.
So you'll be queuing up for this then, I presume?
I don't know. It's...
You just said you love this guy.
No, I do, but 3D.
Aye, aye, aye.
3D for a start.
I've agreed. I'm the old codger when it comes to 3D also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's...
This is a contradictory note from Philip today.
It just sounds...
This sounds great. I'm not going to see it, but it sounds great.
I'm not saying it sounds great. You're putting words in my mouth.
This included, there are 15 more 3D films this year.
That's 15 too many for me.
That's a statistic I'm not happy about.
Yeah.
Anyway.
37 in total for the year. So we've already had 22.
How does that compare to year and year? You know,
I haven't looked at that.
I think it's about
if it drops or does it stay the same or it's increased. I'd be intrigued to know.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that yet.
We'll get on that.
I will. I'm sorry, my stats have fallen down.
Jesus. Final word on this, I like Jeunet, but I think this might, the fact that it's aimed primarily at kids in 3D, it might be a little bit too kooky for its own
good,
or at least
for
my own
DVD.
Wait
for the 2D DVD.
I think I will.
Yep. Film director making a kids movie in 3D. This has Spy Kids and Robert Rodriguez written all over it.
Oh, God.
Hugo!
Hugo's great.
Yeah, sorry,
Hugo.
Hugo was in my top 20 of the year.
It was in my top 10.
Yeah, I loved Hugo.
I just died a tear in my eye at the end of it. Fantastic.
You're a
Philistine, if you will.
Sorry. So, we're on to
excuse
the...
Philistine? I'm a French scholar.
Yes, you are. Apologies.
We're moving past the new releases and onto the special events that are on this week.
Yes.
So, on Saturday, the IFI is having its open day.
We love the open day.
This is one of the highlights of my film going year.
Yes. This is an entire day of film for free in the IFI. So, you have to get down there early.
That's the caveat. You must be there early. Doors open at 11.
I should be there for around 10.
I should be there for 9, God willing.
What? Yeah,
I get there early.
I'd be there before.
There are tickets. So. There are limits to how many tickets each person can get.
I have got there after 10 every year, and I've got every ticket I want.
But some of these films, that's not a risk I want to run, Jay.
That's true.
It's just
that
not.
Is true, that well, is true.
Our Mr. Kyla said that he may not be seeing highlights
I may
of the
not
day,
be able to see Boyhood.
Which is Richard
we shall see.
Boyhood.
Boyhood is
maybe
the...
out. But if I don't, I will see it.
It's a mix... Every year, it's always a mix of old and new. The highlight is this preview of Richard Linklater's Boyhood, which has got some terrific reviews.
Yes.
I can't wait. But even just littered throughout the day, there are some great films. You have Close Hotel's Class 2 Risk, big screen showings of Eight and a Half, Harold and Maude, and The Assassination of Jesse James.
Yes, the we will all be at.
So the Federico Fellini 8.5 screening is, that's a highlight.
Yeah, but
unfortunately.
Yeah.
It clashes with the modern classic is The Assassination of Jesse James. Is the cinematography of that film.
It's Deakin's best work. Oh, and that's
just garbage.
That's
there's so much, like there's so much to say. I don't know what I'd say. It's one of the great films of the 21st century.
It's also one of the great adaptations. I've read the book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've read the book. Ron Hansel's book. And like the narration, it is taken wholesale, and the dialogue. And it makes no bones about keeping it literary.
Yeah.
It doesn't try to adapt it.
We don't get spoon-fed anything. And it has a feel that... There's a feel to that movie, and it's in the way it's shot, and it's the way it...
It's like Malick.
Yeah.
It's just...
That's the best comparison.
But it feels like a 70s movie in some ways, and a Malick 70s movie, and a Days of Heaven kind of feel, and a Tree of Life kind
that
of feel. Do you know what I
mean? That nice time shot with the train is
the greatest thing I've ever seen in the cinema. Hasn't
God, that is just something.
It is.
I remember watching it, my jaw was on the floor. And it will be again, I'm sure.
I can't wait,
that's an essential view, and if you haven't seen it on the big screen you haven't lived.
And there's plenty of other great stuff.
35mm with Brad Pitt and Casey Affleck, and Casey Affleck is brilliant.
Anybody who says he's not a good actor, they're wrong. The ultimate proof is that film.
Yeah, he's pretty much great in everything, even in films that don't deserve the performance.
Oceans.
Yeah, but that's
an insult.
That's done for fun.
Yeah.
Oceans would be the only time when I'm not fond of his particular performance, mostly because he has to play opposite Scott Kahn.
And I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
There's problems with those Oceans movies. They are films that I'm not going to stand up.
The first one does. I've watched the other two since. They don't.
The first one is just
I'm actually afraid to watch the first one again.
No, you should.
Reason.
It's fun. It's cool.
I did enjoy it when
it
came out, but we'll see.
So yeah, there's also
gone off the point again.
There's also Purple Rose of Cairo. You got a bit of Woody Allen there.
Yes,
you have Earth versus Flying Saucers to go old fashioned with the sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's just there's just something there for everyone.
Just one point to make, I don't think I'll catch it. Is if you have not seen Harold and Maude, see it on the big screen. It is one of the great films of the 70s. It's one of the great soundtracks of the 70s by Cat Stevens.
Mm.
It is just a delight. Seriously, if you haven't seen it, it's an amazing film.
It is.
I'll actually got the lesson.
Would that be your pick of the day?
Well, I've seen it on the big screen before, so the reason it's... If I can, I'll be seeing Boyhood, because it's Linklater, and I heard it's great.
Mm.
But if that wasn't against something else, I'd be seeing Harold and Maude again, because it's just... Mm. It is wonderful. It's wonderful.
Earlier today, they announced the audience choice, which this was a readers' poll or a poll on the IFI website where people could vote for a film that was released within the last year to be to be shown again. And they picked Short Term 12, the Brie Larson starring drama about a young woman in a care home in the US I am a massive fan of the film. It was in my top three of last year, but some people are not.
Three? Good grief, it's fine.
It didn't make my top 100.
Yeah, it's fine, so. But that's not that
it's
good.
The Francis Ha Award for overrated films. I think
Francis Ha was one of the other films nominated.
Oh, God, that was overrated.
That was.
That's what Short went about, but, you know, it's fine. It's not for me.
Very little is, Jay.
Yeah, it would appear so.
Anyway.
So that moving on from the IFI Open Day, and we encourage you to go on Saturday.
And you'll see us all there. Do say hello.
Yeah, we don't bite much anymore.
Is the
not unless we're asked.
Right, we stop. The Lighthouse is having a season of musicals.
Oh boy. Yes. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, and some of them are fantastic.
Yeah, just having a look through here. The launch is on this Friday, the Jersey Boys, the Clint Eastwood film, which I've heard nothing about worryingly.
That is quite worrying.
Well, this is a preview. There's not. It hasn't really shown yet. So.
Yeah, I worry about this one a little.
Clint and musical.
Oh God, it'll be Peter Wagon all over again.
Really don't go together. You know, it's not.
It does. Well, he's not in front of the camera, so that's something. But I don't know. He's trying his hand at something different. For man of his years, I find it admirable.
That's absolutely fine. Singing in the Rain, I've seen on the big screen. Previous IFI Open Day, actually.
That's the highlight of it for me. Film. It is one of the greatest musicals, not the greatest.
I want to see the Blues Brothers.
Yeah, Blues Brothers on the big screen.
I think we've got to go and see the Blues Brothers.
And I've been told that singing along is encouraged at most, if not all, of these screenings.
Oh, screw it. I'm going dressed up. I'm going as a Blues Brother.
But then everybody be a Blues Brother. Yeah, I'm going as Aretha Franklin.
I might I'll be there. I'll go to see that.
I might go as Stevie Wonder just to see what would happen.
I can imagine what would happen, though.
I fall down the stairs.
We got Cabaret.
Oh, boom. Cabaret, it's a great lineup. Cabaret, American in Paris.
Yeah.
The Sound of Music, of course. Well, it's a classic.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which I'd never seen, actually.
Interesting. John Cameron Mitchell.
Did you like it? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, no, heard good things.
It's a good left field choice. I like that.
South Pacific.
Yeah, that's a good right field choice. Yes.
Very much so. Also, Oliver, Hairspray, Rocky Horror, of course.
Rocky Horror, that's
a
one
Grease
sing along
special. I want to get drunk and go to the Grease sing along special, which I've seen the big screen already. Oh. Grease, it's fantastic.
Grease is just so.
It's
Grease is the word.
Indeed, it is the word.
Allegedly.
I like Albert Finney, but yeah, I don't know about that.
And
the director's cut of Little Shop of
Horrors.
It'll
be timely to see Annie with the other one coming out later this year.
I probably won't see either, but although it does have plenty.
Little Shop of Horrors, all together now. Yes. You'll be a dentist.
And West Side Story.
West Side Story
West Side Story is my favourite musical of all time. So
I would say my favourite musical of all time is not in here, which is South Park the Movie. But, you know, we can't have everything, I guess. Well, I'm not going to start singing, sorry.
Yeah, especially not that particular song. Stop.
Well, I said car.
Right, yeah. Anyway,
sorry. I have to take the G rating off it if you start singing that song.
Well, they could have sang a different one that starts Shut Your Face.
That one's worse.
Yes.
You're not to sing that.
But Lighthouse, add South Park the Movie.
Other than that, good job.
Yeah, great job. Great job.
So, moving on to something that we're going to be doing on the site, and more so that I'm going to be doing on the site. And
we're
going
to support it.
This is something involving football, so this is going right over my head.
Kill me. It does not in any way involve football, only that the basis of it is football. We're having the World Cup of Film.
Can we say also that it's fine to love football and film, as I do, as Niall does, as Philip kind of does, when it suits him.
So the World Cup of
Football... You just say that because I'm a Liverpool fan.
So am I.
The World Cup starts on Thursday. And to honour that particular month of amazing football that we're going
goes
to see.
A month!
It's more than a month. But anyway, we're going to be doing the World Cup film on Scannon. Basically, what I have done is I have picked a film from every country that's represented in the World Cup. They are all in the same groups as in the World Cup, and we're going to be playing them off against one another and progressing towards the final. So, in Group A, we have Brazil, Mexico, Croatia, and Cameroon. So the films that I've chosen are City of God, Pan's Labyrinth, Araman, and Mulade.
I think City of God wins that group hands down.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Pan's Labyrinth
is going to
do well.
Mexico, Alaska, Ireland.
It should be City of God, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, as is in the Football World Cup, Brazil are favourites in that particular group, so it is it is interesting that the favorite film is also the...
Tell us now, how exactly is this going to work?
So, basically, Brazil play Croatia in the first match of the World Cup. So, City of God faces off against Ireland in the first matchup of the group stages. So, it's going to be based on the standard five criteria that we rate films on. And the team that wins gets a goal per each one of those criteria. If it's a draw, neither team gets the goal. And so... That is the thing. So the most any team can win is 5-0. And they will progress on to they will play three games per group. So Brazil will play
top
Croatia
two teams,
first.
Top two movies.
Top two movies from each group move on, with
and
the
then
top
it.
Team from group A playing the second team from group B
and so on. Like a World Cup film.
Yes, exactly like the World Cup.
Just like the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, and may I say, though, you've done a heck of a job of actually finding some very interesting films from each of these countries.
I've practically never heard of.
Yeah, the problem is now I have to watch them. Which is...
Do you?
Yes.
Good for you.
How else am I going to tell...
I can't even pronounce them.
How else can I tell which one's going to win? That's...
But you don't know, because if we're basing it on football.
We're not basing on football. We're basing on the five criteria that we rate a movie from. So cinematography,
direction. I have to watch these as well then.
No, you don't have to watch them. Only I end up having to watch
but
them.
But these are good. This
they
is
are.
The one thing
I've
is...
seen quite a few, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so anywhere where I've seen it before, I'm not going to bother watching it again.
Good luck getting a copy of some of these.
Yeah, where on earth are you going to find a copy of the Côte d'Ivoire's entry, Noir et Blanc en Couleur?
I will find it.
Good.
I have no doubt you will.
So, in Group B, we have Spain, Chile, the Netherlands, and Australia. So that is Talk to Her, The Motorcycle Diaries, The Black Book, and The Black Book and Waking Fright.
Now, I've got Spain in rather wonderfully in my work sweep. So I'm Talk to Her all the way here for that reason. Although the best movie of those four is Waking Fright.
Definitely. I adore Waking Fright.
Yeah, so it's an extraordinary Australia film. Have absolutely no chance in the World Cup.
No, but in the Film World Cup, they say they may well do.
Mm. So. Group C is Colombia, Greece, the Ivory Coast, and Japan.
I have Colombia in my office.
So that's
States, actually.
Dark Horses.
Mm.
Maria Full of Grace, Black Cat, White Cat, Noir et Blanc, En Couleur, and Seven Samurai.
And Seven Samurai is, of course, it's Seven Samurai. What more need
yeah,
I say?
I
but
agree.
I will say Maria Full of Grace. Tough watch, good watch, though.
I mean, Black Cat, White Cat's good, too. The Greek film, I've watched before.
Mm. Okay.
But that one will be interesting. That group will be interesting. As will Group D, where I still need I need an English film.
Long Good Friday.
Long Good Friday. Okay. Yep. I'm good with that. So we have Uruguay, Italy, England, and Costa Rica. So we have Burning Money, The Bicycle Thieves, Long Good Friday, and Of Love and Demons.
Of that group, I'd have to pick Bicycle Thieves.
Yeah.
Just about.
Just because I haven't seen Burning Money or Of Love and Demons.
Unfortunately, I must admit the same sin. Yeah. But still, Bicycle Thieves, if you've never seen it, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
No, more of a Umberto Demon.
I was going to pick Cinema Paradiso, but I thought that Philip might walk.
Walk? I'd have brained you.
He would have.
In Group E, we have Switzerland, France, Ecuador, and Honduras. So we have The Chorus, Abut de Sufa, My Time Will Come, and Calixico, The Landlord.
I love a Buddha suit. Yeah. I know some people don't, but I do.
Yeah, like.
And the chorus is cheery, sentimental pap.
The other two, we don't know. I'm presuming.
Yeah.
In Group F, it's Argentina.
Argentina.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Yeah. Bosnia, Herzegovina, Iran, and Nigeria. So we have The Secret in Their Eyes, No Man's Land, A Separation, and August the 1st.
A Separation.
Because, yes, Iran, who would have no hope, and will have no hope in the actual World Cup,
have
a very sporting chance of getting very far in this one, but The Separation, a masterpiece. Of
I will certainly agree with that, because I think The Secret in Their Eyes is quite overrated.
I'd agree.
Yeah, it's got some great shots. Some good performances, but the story does not hold together.
In case you're wondering where I got most of these films from, it is what is ranked as being the top film per country on IMDb based on the amount of votes.
Oh.
So, it's not necessarily the top one, but it's that's there or thereabouts. Okay. So.
I wasn't really wondering, but
yeah,
that's great to know.
Yeah, that's where it came from. So, for Group G, which is the group of deaths in the World Cup, is Germany, Portugal, the USA, and Ghana. And we have M, Gone's Comedy, The Godfather, and Sankofa.
Yeah, that's, there's two obvious front runners there, and do you want to take either of them?
Yeah.
Gladly, M or The Godfather.
M is magnificent, The Godfather is magnificent.
Yeah, so...
The other two I haven't seen, so I'll have to kind of go with those two hot favourites, one would imagine.
And then, Group H, where Belgium are the favourites in real life, we have Belgium, Russia, Algeria, and South Korea, L'Enfant, Battleship Pontificate, The Battle of Algiers, and Old Boy. That's just the group of deaths.
Algeria for me.
Absolutely. The Battle of Algiers is a masterpiece. Yeah, masterpiece.
That wins the group hands down. A pretty good strong group, though.
That is a great group. Old Boy, well, it's not a classic.
It's
but
very good, though.
So stylish, so well made, so confident.
Mm-hmm.
Battleship Potemkin, well, its influence is still being
still
felt today.
Brilliant, though.
And L'Enfant, The Dardennes.
Which I haven't seen.
Ah, oh, you should.
I'm catching up on the Dardennes.
It's one of the best.
I have Rosetta to watch, which I'm watching very soon.
I had my pick of the Dardennes. I went with that one rather than the more obvious.
What would be your
particular favourite if you were to pick one
of all of those?
Of the Dardennes, just the Marvin.
Ooh, let me think. Probably L'Enfant.
Oh, okay.
I'm not as big a fan of The Kid of the Bike as some.
Kid of the Bike is what I was going to pick in that.
I really like it, but I've heard they've done better.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to the rest.
But of that group, Battle of Algiers all the way.
Oh, same here.
So the problem is, the Battle of Algiers, if it wins that group, comes out against M or The Godfather in the next round.
But you know what? So be it. It's still a great, great...
Whoever wins that battle, we all cinema wins.
Yeah, exactly. Those are three great films, and I'd recommend them to anybody.
Yes.
So stay tuned to the website to find out which ones of this wins. This will be going for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, this might. I have two World Cups to be nervous about.
Starting on Thursday with Brazil versus Croatia, City of God versus Armin.
Will there be only one winner? Let us see.
Yeah.
But there will be.
Mm.
Sorry.
On that bombshell,
you've got about 10 films to watch in the next 2 days.
I do. Yes.
Good luck with that.
Sitting here talking to us, you should be watching.
Well, luckily enough, I've seen every film in Group B. So
that's good.
Good start.
That is good.
Yes, that is quite useful. You can find the whole World Cup of film on Scanon on the website.
You can also follow us on
Scanon on Facebook. So that's facebook.com/Scanon. Or Scanon_com on Twitter. You can find me at Lyle X Murphy on Twitter, Jason at Jay Coyle, and Philip at Cynical Film.
Yes.
So
do say hello.
Do. We'll see you next week when we're sure to be arguing over some of the results from the early groups.
Doubtlessly.
Doubtlessly indeed.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.